Hello, we are the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast. Silence
Hello.
From the brothers.
Aren't you too glad we weren't laughing at you?
That's good. That's good. I'm glad there wasn't laughter.
You were expecting us to just jump in with insults on your radio voice?
Especially,
speaking.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Patrick? I am Patrick Schmaltz, and there's Andrew Schmaltz. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, Patrick.
And then there's Christopher Schmaltz. Hello, Christopher.
Greetings, boys.
We are brothers. We are geeks, and we talk about geeky stuff. And
yes,
yeah, that's what we do. Yeah. So
and we record it
for you, listener.
We talk about geeky stuff all the time.
Yes.
We only record a segment.
Exactly.
Yes.
Our ongoing
a certain
kind of
time
message.
Period.
Mm. Our ongoing group message that we
this
have.
This is just a slice.
Yes.
A slice of
our ongoing.
Really, this is
geeky
all we
communication
think you people can handle. Of all of the geeky stuff we talk about
it's
and
so,
do all week.
It's so incessant.
Yeah.
It's unending. It's so much fun.
Okay.
There really isn't anything better than this.
It's kind of nonstop. We live it. We live it.
We
but for the next hour, we give it to you. Part of
Are
our.
We shooting for an hour?
Yeah,
we invite you in.
We're
we invite the listener in.
We're always shooting for an hour, Andrew. But
we
then,
participate.
But then Chris gets
the,
long-winded, and then we
in
go
the
over.
Glory. We
Chris
participate in the glory.
Chris
speaking of monologuing,
we
invite listeners to participate in the glory
Chris
of the conversation about
right now.
Jesus,
you got me monologuing.
Monologuing.
Dog.
I love to monologue.
We're gonna start calling syndrome. If you people start to monologue,
syndrome?
It's like you're pulling a syndrome.
That's a good
syndrome.
No,
right
we
now.
Don't have to say you're pulling a syndrome. You just have to say it.
Syndrome.
That's it. I like it.
Yep.
Okay, syndrome. All right.
It will be tested. This will be tested
who's
going to
get the
episode
syndrome
18. Is this episode 18?
So we got
episode 18.
Episode 18.
Oh my!
Oh,
we got some news to talk about. What do we got some news
so,
to talk about tonight?
So, I mean,
Andrew,
you've
always got news to talk about.
I do have a bit of news, Chris. In our group message that we have ongoing on our smartphones, that is unending and incessant, and never seems to have a
syndrome.
Beginning of syndrome. Really? It was less than 15 seconds
Dude,
of me talking.
Right?
It was
don't interrupt with the syndrome. It's like an afterthought.
Chris feels like he's got all the power now. He feels
Jesus.
Like he's wielding Mjolnir, so he's just gonna be coming down with it.
Mjolnir.
Start to monologue, dude.
He's gonna
I'm
bring the lightning.
Down.
Chris is
okay. So
I'm the main guilty offender. So I will wield it with impunity.
Okay. Continue your thought, Andrew.
Yeah, no, there was an image that was posted online today that it's a graphic that lists the upcoming comic book movie releases for all lines of
we're going to put a link in the show notes you who are listening along can look at what we're going to look at, but we're going to talk about a few things here that are on this picture because this is superhero movies.
Definitely put the link up
that are planned
for the
next 5 years, and they have like a timeline for everything, and like
assume this is like a compilation of the announcements that Marvel and DC have made, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So it is not maybe sort of farther out, there's some speculation, but all of the hard dates
And there's
image.
A lot. There's a lot
of
hard dates.
They've all been announced, right?
Yeah.
The May 1st...
I didn't go through and verify them all, but it looked like it was comprehensive and pretty accurate. So.
Oh yeah, everything in 2015, May 1st for Avengers: Age of Ultron, July 17th for Ant-Man, and August 7th for the Fantastic Four reboot. I mean, those movies are all in production right now. in various stages. I think actually principal photography on Avengers Age of Ultron might be finished. Wow. And that might be kind of, I mean, it takes a year to build all the effects.
That was the article that came out recently. Was it yesterday or today that said that Avengers Age of Ultron is their heaviest CG movie?
Well, and Joss Whedon tweeted maybe 6 weeks ago that principal photography was done and he didn't know what to do with it. He made some Joss Whedon extremely pithy, smart comment about how he doesn't have anything to do with his day and, he's going to sit on the couch and eat sweets or something, like Joss does.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm done with principal photography. I don't have anything to do.
His work is over.
His work is done. Well, yeah. I'm sure he's going to the office every day and making sure doing their job right.
I'm nonplussed by this Ant-Man movie.
Well, they've had a lot of problems with it, too. I mean, they lost Edgar Wright. And then they replaced
him.
Didn't
they have to recast?
They recast
him a couple times.
It's easier in hindsight. I mean, we're all skeptical about Guardians of the Galaxy, right? But it's easier. Yeah. That is easier to pull off in my mind because it's on an ensemble.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
Pratt was the main guy who sort of had to carry it.
Yeah, but he was Han Solo.
Ant-Man is Ant-Man.
Ant-Man shouldn't have his own movie.
I agree completely. I'm colored on the idea of Ant-Man because Ant-Man came into my kind of sphere of comic book fandom in the middle 80s when he was being written as he was a jerk.
Yeah.
He was having marriage problems. His wife was breaking up with him. He was Yellow Jacket for a while and he was just he was actually a villain.
Growing up was one of my favorite Avengers.
Yeah, I just can remember reading issues where he was Yellow Jacket and he was at odds with the main team.
Are they gonna do where he's like big too? Where he's like giant man? He's like giant man, but he's Ant Man, and then he can control the ants.
Helmet. Yeah, no, they're gonna have him be diminutive and huge.
Yeah,
both powers.
He has the power to
shrink to tiny,
grow, but still, he's so boring.
I don't understand. I don't understand the order
because isn't he involved?
Yeah,
in the creation Ultron? Of Ultron,
he creates Ultron.
So
they're changing the origin of Ultron.
They're changing that.
Yeah,
it's a Tony Stark creation.
It would make more sense to have the Ant-Man movie proceed.
Yeah,
and have maybe he plants the seed in Stark's mind or something like that to tie into the lore.
Okay,
but
so
because
on,
it's after Ultron, it doesn't make much sense
for people who aren't looking at this at the moment. Avengers: Age of Ultron is May 1st, 2015, and Ant-Man is July 17th of 2015. So you they're releasing them in the same summer. They'll probably have some overlap, obviously, some kind of like Marvel Cinematic Universe, crossover.
They always tie in.
But is he going to be in Age of Ultron? Like, do we know that?
I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know that.
Because I mean, maybe that's the trick. If they put
a lot of
Hank
awesome
Pym,
movies.
So we got 2015. We got speculation on what Ant-Man's going to be. None of us are very excited about it.
No,
but 2016.
Oh man,
February 12th, a Deadpool movie.
My birthday is the biggest
March
movie 25th. Of the year. Yeah,
Batman versus Superman: Dawn of Justice. Yes. God, I hope it's a little bit good,
dude. That's a terrible title.
It might be a terrible title, but I hope it's a little bit.
The Dawn of Justice is a terrible title.
Let's hope
Batman
it's a
versus Superman. I like.
I am really worried about that movie because, I like Henry Cavill and I like Ben Affleck, even though people are giving him, ooh, it's Ben Affleck playing Batman.
Yeah, people hating on Ben Affleck is stupid because the guy is the truth.
I like the casting. I don't have faith in Zack Snyder because was really disappointed with Man of Steel. Man of Steel has its high points, but overall, it's not a Superman movie.
What?
It's not
what?
A super, it's not a Superman movie.
We've talked about this before. We could go on.
We can go on.
I just and okay. March 25th
Superman movie.
It's not a Superman movie.
How old are you going to be March 25th, 2016?
I'm not revealing that to the universe.
Okay. So that May 6th is Captain America 3.
Captain America 3. This is 2016 we're in.
That's 2016.
2016.
That's not even next year.
It's 18 months away.
Yeah.
But they made the announcement. They made the announcement that Robert Downey Jr. will reprise his role as Tony Stark in Captain America 3, and that the plot of Captain America 3 will set up the Marvel Universe event of Civil War, which, for those of you who don't know, the uninitiated out there, it was a comic book series that occurred about 6-7 years ago. It was a miniseries. It was 8 issues.
Not that long ago.
It was released in 2006, Christopher.
Really?
That's right.
Seriously?
100%.
It's been that long, man.
It's been that long?
Yeah, it was,
So
it tells the story of superheroes dividing into two factions based on
We don't need to get on all that.
We don't.
But Captain America and Iron Man are fighting. That's the trick of they're at odds.
And there are groups that form up behind them.
Yes, exactly. Hero groups. But the missing element to Civil War that everybody's forgetting, Spider-Man. Spider-Man can't be in this movie unless Fox and Marvel get together because
he plays a key role.
Peter Parker reveals that he is Spider-Man in Civil War.
Yeah.
Because like everybody in the Marvel universe knows who Captain America is. He runs around DC and everybody knows he's Captain America. You know, Iron Man in the first movie reveals himself to be Iron Man. Like, It's
and in the comic universe, people know that Tony Stark is Iron Man.
Right, right. And so, like, Peter Parker revealing that he's, you know, Spider-Man is, like, a big deal.
Huge deal.
And that's him joining the side of Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big part of the story. But they can't do that because Fox owns the rights to Spider-Man. Unless they can come to terms.
I think they possibly could.
That would make it better, but
movie would do $5 billion worth of box office. It would be the single hugest movie in the history of movies.
Here's the problem with this.
I'm making that declaration right now. If there is a Avengers Spider-Man crossover movie.
Awesome.
$5 billion.
Everybody will make money if they do that.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the problem.
And it's a halfway decent movie?
All you got to do is give Sony a piece of that.
Here's the problem with Civil War in the movie universe is like in the comic book universe, they're set up the idea of a bunch of people with powers running around helping people with no one watching them. That's the big gripe in the Civil War comic, there's an irresponsibility of the heroes. So the government is telling them, like, you can't.
The Marvel Universe movies have already planted that seed.
Have they?
People are suspicious. Yeah, there's the conversations at various points in various movies where there's conversation about these freaks running around unchecked. Right.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I haven't felt
there's
that.
There's a couple of moments like that.
I don't know if I've ever. I don't know if I've noticed that trend.
That's a theme in the Avengers about you have all these of broken people that have to come together.
Sure. The council he's talking to, they make it a couple that Fury talks to. You know,
right.
They mention that a couple of times.
They're not trustworthy.
Your costumes heroes running around unchecked kind of a thing.
Exactly. There are seeds of that, but that's actually a natural reaction to anything you're dealing with that's more powerful.
They don't have to be wedded completely to the comic series, and in fact, they could probably take advantage of just the framework of it and improve upon it. So,
exactly. They could.
That's interesting.
Guardians of the Galaxy is in 2017.
Okay. Summer 2017. Back to the list.
Yeah.
And this graphic is really cool. Nicely lays out the timeline.
It does.
Here's something to think about, guys. In 2016, there will be 7 comic book superhero movies. Yep. 7.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, that's a lot.
Look, X-Men Apocalypse we know is coming. I mean, they haven't started photography on that yet. But they haven't even – I mean, Doctor Strange is supposed to be released in 2016.
They haven't even
even cast that yet.
Yeah.
I mean, they have not cast Doctor Strange.
Yeah, these things could move for sure.
Absolutely. The Suicide Squad – there's going to be a Suicide Squad movie before there's a Justice League movie.
That could be very compelling.
It could.
It could.
Yeah. No, the Suicide Squad isn't. But I mean, that's setting up a lot of characters.
Yeah.
Because I mean, Suicide Squad is 6 people, and they're doing the Suicide Squad
on Arrow, or they have been last season. I mean,
yeah.
Yep.
Season 2. Yeah. So I mean, they've already kind of talked
DC
about
has
that
a strong TV property base.
Okay.
Right now.
Since we're talking about DC and television, if you look at 2018. The Flash movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
Ezra Miller is going to play the Flash Justice League. Ezra Miller, you never heard of this kid?
So it's not the kid that is playing the Flash in the TV show.
It's not Grant.
There's going to be 2 different Flashes.
Yep. Yes.
Why?
I don't. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
There's a DC television universe and a DC movie universe.
That's dumb. Because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The actress from the movie, Sif, is in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, she's standing next to Thor.
There's lots of crossover.
Nick Fury! Yeah. Nick Fury has appeared on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in season 1 twice.
Samuel L. Jackson.
The notion that they would be blended like that is a great idea. I like it. They feed each other. So.
They can put Arrow from the TV show in the movie. Like, he's a great Stephen Amell. He's a good enough actor. He can stand toe to toe. He doesn't need to say much. He just needs to shoot arrows. Come on.
But he can emote.
He can emote for sure. He's great on that show.
With the pointy bits.
The pointy bits.
The pointy bits. We can go on and on about this list.
The list goes out to 2020.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is insane. I mean, it's insane.
They are on 2020. They are going to have a Green Lantern movie. They're going to try to restart Green Lantern.
Why are they waiting till 2020?
Yeah, they need to try again sooner. Yeah.
They're going to have a full Justice League movie before they have a Green Lantern movie. This is all going to be fluid. This is just an interesting graphic.
Okay,
2017 is going to be freaking laden with movies
as well. So wait a second. They're doing Justice League. We already know that Batman Superman will be in Batman Superman, also Wonder Woman,
also Cyborg, also Aquaman.
Here's the problem with DC right now, is they're trying to do the Avengers without giving everybody their own movie and paying their dues. Right.
Yes.
Because the Avengers worked, because you didn't need to explain any of the characters.
You didn't need to do backstory on five guys.
Yeah.
It's just they already did all the backstories, and now you throw them in. And now there's a mix. But they're going straight to, hey, the Avengers made tons of money. We got all these characters, too. Well, Justice League movie. Let's do it.
I mean, DC, Warner Brothers, and
it's
DC haven't handled their main properties well. They've struggled to make a really kick-ass Superman movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Arguably, Man of Steel is the closest they've come to being as beloved as the Christopher Reeve Superman.
Incorrect. Superman is a Boy Scout. Man of Steel, he's a murderer who doesn't care and just...
You're not listening to me.
He's a murderer.
Superman.
Man of Steel. What other Superman movie approaches the Christopher Reeve movie?
I like Superman Returns better than Man of Steel.
No way,
Superman Returns is awful.
Man of Steel was not awful.
It was pretty bad.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Yeah. It's not good.
Wrong, Patrick.
We'll have it. We'll have a discussion about that another time.
Wow. Superman, hold on a second. I'm going to address this Superman as a murderer thing.
Murderer.
Guess what? He is a murderer. He beats Doomsday to death in the comic books because he knows that he has to.
Mm-hmm.
He murders him. They fight to the death and they kill each other. He does what he has to do.
Only because he's about to die. And he knows that if he doesn't do it right now, right before he dies, that he's just going to kill everybody. He's just going to lay waste because he's the last straw. He wasn't the last straw with Zod. He wasn't it.
God, we're not okay.
Yeah,
we can't get into this. But you're wrong. But anyway, we're moving on.
We can't get into this, but you're wrong. Syndrome.
You're wrong.
Scene. Let's go right into scene.
Any other news?
Yeah,
Andrew.
No, I think that's pretty good. In terms of what I wanted to talk about.
Yeah. We should save Fury for the end of scene because we've all seen the movie Fury.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that's a good discussion. So, Andrew, tell us what you've seen besides that.
Well, I'm watching the Sleepy Hollow with Adria. She loves it. I watch it because she likes it. I'm entertained by Tom Misson, the guy who plays Ichabod Crane.
He's good.
He is entertaining.
He is entertaining.
He's incapable of buying new modern clothing.
Absolutely
incapable.
He can drive, though.
Physically so incapable.
He drives a car, and he's pretty good.
He can drive a freaking car, and he has to wear an 18th century coat.
He has a cell phone now, too.
That is the dumbest. That alone means that is the dumbest freaking show on TV.
Put him in a t-shirt. Give him a t-shirt.
Seriously.
Yeah.
There's a way to make him look cool and not like a...
Continue, Andrew. Yeah.
I'm trying to watch Gotham. I did not watch the most recent episode of Gotham. Trying to get through it. I'm having trouble.
It's not good? You're not enjoying it?
But the big thing that has come back...
It's comes to fruition. That show, it has come to fruition. Everything I was fearful of, which is... the fact that we see young Bruce Wayne in almost every episode is what's absolutely wrong with the show.
Yep.
It's a disaster.
Okay, so it's the Batman show light. It's like
Batman show dumb.
They should just call it Gotham, baby Batman.
Baby
little
baby Batman.
Because he's investigating.
No, he isn't.
And he is. He's looking into stuff at Wayne Enterprises. He's investigating, dude. It's terrible.
Yep.
It's terrible.
It's troubling.
Oh, I can't. Okay, I can't stand it. I'm watching it at this point.
Yep. But what the show that has come back and has gotten through two episodes, which have been very, very good, in my opinion.
We haven't talked about it.
The Walking Dead.
Boom. I thought you were going to say something else.
Boom. Nope. Walking Dead.
Walking Dead is awesome. My love of that show is in full force.
Mm.
The premiere episode of season 5 was fantastic.
Yes.
It was action heavy, and it had really interesting character moments as well, and posed interesting mystery for this season.
Yes.
All of the above is true.
The above.
What's that guy who played Shane in that show? What's his name?
John Barenthal.
I'm going to come back to him.
Let's do that. The first two episodes, I am really enjoying it. Obviously, they're building an arc to resolve in the front because Walking Dead, they do a front 8 and a back 8. So they will do 8 episodes, and I believe they will resolve the current plot that they're building in the front 8, and then they will have a second plot in the back 8. But I am very much enjoying the two episodes that have been. It is regular, quote-unquote, water cooler discussion in my office. There's about 10 of us that watch the show, and on Monday mornings, we all kind of talk about it. We send each other emails and instant messages, and we find each other in the halls to talk about the show. So
it's on the same level of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
In terms of event TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, I would agree with that for sure.
Yeah, so.
I mean, the ratings tell that story, right? It's the number one show.
This is season 5, right?
On any channel, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of Game of Thrones, a little bit of news. Did you hear, like, HBO's trying to do, they're going to do a subscription service? They're talking about doing a subscription service.
I did see that,
That you can just, without having cable, that's going to be huge.
It's going to be like Netflix. Yep.
It's going to be like Netflix. I just hope they get their server issues together, because sometimes HBO Go kind of sucks. Like,
crashes. Yeah,
crashes a lot.
The player is not very good.
Yeah.
Well, to add on top of that, there's been some, because Game of Thrones season 5 is currently in production right now. They're going to, just little side notes, they're going to introduce flashback aspects to season 5.
Which has never happened before.
Which has never happened in the show, and flashbacks don't happen in the book.
Which I don't think I like.
Yeah, we'll see how they handle it. But
I will like it if they flesh out an ad story that's in the books.
Yes, agreed.
And they tell some tale or flesh something out that maybe he didn't have an opportunity to do.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he's involved in the show. And so if he is participating in the show and adding and fleshing out lore, I welcome it. Because, I mean, so talk about the backstory and background they allude to in the books. If they're able to sort of develop and pull off in a good way some of that backstory on various things and events and characters, I think it'd be cool.
I agree.
Yeah. I agree.
Also, an announcement about season 5 is that we will, at the end of, I'm not spoilerizing anything because the season ended 5 months.
Spoilerizing a word.
Bring it. Yep, it is now.
It is a word?
Yep, it is now.
I looked it up. It's a word.
Bran and Hodor reach the end of their journey, so to speak, at the end of season 4 in Game of Thrones. They arrive at their destination that they've been questing to for about 3 seasons. We will not see Bran or Hodor in season 5 of Game of Thrones. The two characters will not have
a story.
Yep.
So wait, does that mean they're actually following the season, the book 4, which is what, Andrew?
They're blending 4 and 5.
Feast for Crows. Yeah.
They're blending elements from book 4 and 5.
But, like, Bran is in book 5, they're leaving him out? Are they doing...
They are being fungible with the timeline to allow for the... Obviously, he's not cranking out the books very fast.
No, he isn't.
And so they've got to tease out of where they are in the current storyline.
They're catching them. They're catching
They've got to
him.
Tease out at least 2 seasons.
Yep.
Of
currently written books.
So currently written books, we have A Storm of Swords and A Dance with Dragons left. Correct?
No. We have A Feast for Crows.
Feast for Crows,
and
sorry.
Dance with Dragons.
Right. Okay. Yes. So
Feast for Crows is book 5, right, Andrew?
Feast for Crows is book 4. Dance of Dragons is book 5.
And he needs 6 and 7. He needs...
Yeah,
so
6 and 7.
They're taking
Winds of Winter is the next one, right?
Yeah, and then book 7 is supposed to be called A Dream of Spring.
A Dream of Spring. Okay. Winds of Winter, Dream of Spring.
And the last 2 books.
And so they have to spend at least 2 years to get out 1 more book. And then once they can make a book out of that... They can make a season or 2 out of that book, and so he's got 2 years, four years.
In terms of timing, they should be fine if he releases another book next year.
Okay.
Because they will take...
I am counting on...
Next summer. He needs to release summer.
They can get another season out of book 5.
I believe that we will have...
And 2 seasons out of book 6,
The Winds of Winter.
Guess.
Next summer. It'll be released next summer. Sometime.
And that'll be 2 seasons worth of show.
Oh, easy.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a 1,000-page book.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. They'll be okay.
Here's the problem, though. I listened to fucking book 4. Sorry for dropping the F-bomb. But it's...
We're going
to
get an explicit tag.
Sorry, we already have it. It's awful, and it's boring as hell, and it would make terrible television. And
And that's why they're about, that's why they're blending. Four
I disagree
and five,
about a Feast for Crows. There are aspects there nothing of Feast happens. For Crows that are bullshit. The last, they introduce Dorn. They kind of kick off all of those plots.
Dorn is boring as shit.
Boring
dude.
As hell.
Dude,
nothing happens.
Nothing happens.
Difficult to keep track of.
The
it's
stuff.
Annoying.
The Greyjoy stuff is boring. No one cares.
Yeah, the Greyjoy yes. stuff is pretty weak.
And like the stuff that's happening.
Stuff. You want to be? I want to be psyched, and I want to hear more about how the assassins. I want to hear more about. And there's a bunch of just intrigue where nothing occurs.
Yes.
Until there's one event. There's one event.
There's one event in that whole book.
And Dorn.
There's the last. Dumb. The last 200 pages of Feast for Crows are good. The rest of it is just. It's just him sitting in front of a typewriter, just.
Blah, well, he's blah, filling blah, in. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, he's world building. I get why he had to do it.
But it's a boring.
It absolutely
it's
serves
making
a purpose.
But it's making
but
terrible
throw
television.
Enough into it, to make it ultra compelling. It's just okay. not. He's just. He's. You got to get through it to fill in the gaps about the world.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to do that. He's got to world build, right?
Yeah.
Because he's teeing it up. Dorn may be the center of. Either opposition to, or it plays a key role in my mind in ultimate resolution because it's the completely. Farthest away from the wall.
Yeah.
And right? they won't be affected by winter as much because they're like a desert. They're a desert.
So the source of the resistance to the walkers and the shit that is coming
winter.
Is going to be down in Dorne. It's going to be.
And Dorne didn't beat the shit. Dorne wasn't involved in the Lannister, Stark, Baratheon, Civil War. So they're not beat to shit. They're not, you know, decimated and the countryside
is the north is a mess right now. Yes. Like it's a mess. A like, okay. Sorry to derail us through that, but
Game of Thrones is good.
Welcome to Game
Song
of Thrones.
Is awesome.
It is awesome. It is awesome. I totally agree. So you were on scene, Andrew.
I was, right? Well, we were on Walking Dead, and I mean,
Walking
I was
Dead,
kinda,
and we got derailed. Yeah, go for it.
This past episode,
I'm good.
You're good?
Yeah.
Christopher.
This past episode of Walking Dead was that ending was. You just gotta love the show, man. You gotta love the show.
The comment I made to a coworker today, I mean, the ending and kind of the reveal that they did and how kind of they've crossed another level of kind of sinisterness in the world that exists in The Walking Dead. The way that what was interesting to me is that the people who are perpetrating this crime against other humans, they're not to avoid kind of spoiling
spoiler
it,
crime.
They're
crime.
Not like horrible, disfigured mutants who live in the hills. They're kind of regular people. And their leader, the guy's character's name is Gareth. He's well spoken. He's charming. He's pretty handsome dude.
He's a pragmatist.
He's a practice. It just he comes across well, even though he's a bastard.
That's what I heard you say.
Sick bastard.
Pragmatist.
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 Pragmatist. Pragmatist. Good. I like it.
Anyway,
I haven't watched it in a couple of seasons, so I have nothing to contribute.
It's not, bro.
No, I'm not. I'm missing out with my happiness. So,
all right. Well, that's a good point.
You can
that's a good point.
We don't have to like all the same things.
We don't. Christopher,
you're an idiot.
Christopher, continue.
Thankfully. Scene. All right, I will focus on Doctor Who.
Ooh.
Okay.
I am
loving this season of Doctor Who.
Finally got itself together.
Capaldi Doctor is tremendous. They are writing to his strengths. He is a crotchety, alien, quasi-sinister, angry, inscrutable doctor that is frustrating his companion and frustrating the viewer in terms of sort of the window into the dude is a just all of the elements that make up sort of the otherness of the doctor, whereas the previous doctor was much more sort of YA, You knew where he was coming from.
He was goofy. He's wearing Stetsons and fezes and bow ties.
Bow ties are cool.
bow ties are cool.
They are cool. Anyway, I have many.
You guys rock bow ties.
We do. Yeah. We do.
I don't know how to tie a regular tie, so I won't be wearing bow ties.
This last episode was a great one in terms of there are issues with the TARDIS. There's Clara in center stage and solving the mystery and being the instrument to fight off.
It's like a mini TARDIS, right? I've seen the trailer for it. He's stuck in the tiny TARDIS.
I have one right here on my desk. It's the same size.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm very much enjoying it. And they're setting up a big bad. They give sort of snippets and teaser reveals of this woman. You don't know what she is or what she's about.
The Heaven Woman, right? Welcome to Heaven.
There's references to Heaven, whatever that is, and wherever that is.
Yeah.
So a lot of good stuff's going on in Doctor Who this season. I'm enjoying
the
that.
The last episode I watched was the one. How many episodes are left?
Oh.
Till they break.
I think 4.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I need to get caught up because the last one I watched was the one in the school with the solution monster, you know?
I
was really bored with that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't like it. Mm.
There's a lot going on. She's lying to her boyfriend to cover the fact that she's still...
Yeah.
Going with the doctor. He thought that she was going to quote unquote break up with him. But she's lying to her boyfriend because she still wants to be with the doctor. The train one was the episode previous to this one. That one is really good because you see the doctor making decisions, and Clara, the light bulb turns on for her in terms of the doctor is always making decisions that is utilitarian, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Maximum. He's willing to sacrifice people in order to learn enough so that he can defeat the big bad.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't kill anymore.
So it doesn't kill everybody.
Yeah.
And she's learning more about that, and she's confronted with certain situations where she gains some insight. But he, you know, he's sort of this crotchy grandfatherly.
So I would think that like David Tennant is that kind of doctor. He was kind of like he got dark a little bit sometimes. You know, like you could see the doctor as like a little hardcore.
Yeah, but he was young and attractive.
He was charming. Sort of, is Capaldi charming enough? I don't know.
They're not writing him to be charming. That's the great thing about this.
Yeah, but like all these like young girls who are fans are going to go insane.
Moffat is going to back to the core of Doctor Who.
Okay, that's good for me. That's good
for you. I'm enjoying that, and I think they're definitely going to.
There is a large fan base, though. There's a large fan base.
Yeah,
that are
but
young
I think
women.
I think people were worried about it. I don't know what the numbers are, but I'm guessing that people have really warmed up. And are happy with the season because it's really solid.
I need to do some more research. I'd love to hear what the fans are thinking of this because it sounds weird.
It's just very different.
It's a big change.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. What else you got?
And I think that's intentional. I'm watching The Flash.
Oh yeah,
that is a pure fun superhero movie. I like it. The storyline's cool.
He gets to show off
it's the exploration of his powers and doing fun stuff with his powers and the dynamic of him. It's a comic booky show, which I appreciate.
Well, Jeff Johns is
it's much more comic booky than Arrow. I'm watching that too, and Arrow is devolving into this. CW kind of deal.
Season 2 started off like that too, and then it built up. They have to slow down and slowly build.
Flash is a superhero show.
Which I
dig. And I got a Supernatural started up again.
The most recent episode of The Flash had on the writing credit for the show was Jeff Johns.
Yeah, that's
Chief
awesome.
Creative Officer for DC Comics. He's directly involved.
I have a theory that I'd like to broach the brothers with right now. Is the professor guy, the guy who's the the dude who's helping the Flash right now, the guy in the wheelchair who's
faking
in the wheelchair.
Is he Professor Zoom?
Yes.
Is that what's the big reveal of season one is he's Professor Zoom?
If you haven't read the comics,
I'm not giving anything away.
No, you're not.
But he's
either that or is he
reverse
he's some,
Flash?
He's reverse.
He
yes,
he is an some kind of entity from the future.
So Ooh. here's the deal. Reverse Flash can go so fast that he can go back in time.
Exactly.
So if he's gone back in time to create the Flash for some reason, because there's going to be some kind of time travel thing, I think. And the reason why he killed his mother is to create the Flash. He needed to do that to create him, to make him how he is.
Yep.
So I think that's my theory after watching two episodes, and I love that I am thinking about that kind of stuff. That's how good this show is.
That's why, I mean, it's as I said, it's comic booky in all the best ways.
In all the best ways.
The guy and the guy who plays the Flash, Grant Gustin, he is winning.
He is great. He's very good. He's got struggles. He's got Barry charm. Allen. He's funny.
Yeah, he's funny.
No, I like it. What else you got, Chris?
As I mentioned, Supernatural started up again. I've been watching that show from the very beginning. I love that show. I will continue to watch that show until it's over. Mm. Great storyline this year with Dean being a demon.
Mm-hmm.
With the Mark of Cain.
Yeah.
Taking over and overwhelming him and the exploration of that and how that all plays out.
I like that he's not fully evil.
Either of them bald yet or graying? Because they've been doing the show for a decade.
They cut Sam's hair finally. It was getting a little.
Was Jared Padalecki must have been like 11 when they started that show.
Right.
I swear to God.
They have aged well. They have done
they really have.
They have aged well.
Yeah.
It's a great show.
All that Vancouver air, man. Living in Vancouver for 10 months out of the year.
Yeah, right.
In terms of scene, the final thing I'll mention in terms of scene is going to see Fury with Andrew.
Okay. We went and saw that on Sunday afternoon.
Patrick.
Watching Arrow, watching Flash, agree with what you're saying. Don't have any desire to watch Gotham. I probably will eventually, but I will probably hate watch it. I'm not caught up on Doctor Who. What else? Watching Legend of Korra, which is great. Whew, so good.
They're on season 4 of that.
There's some I'm really excited about next episode because it takes the little airbender kids and they're going to go try to hunt down Korra because Korra's like missing in this season.
When you say hunt down, that implies
down,
that she's living outside.
No, like investigate and try to find her.
Go find her.
Well, so it's like three little and these characters are like the kids, like they remind me a lot of Aang and the fun
Tenzin's
part.
Tenzin's kids, right?
Right, Tenzin's kids, and but season 4 is 3 years later, so they've aged a little bit.
Oh wow!
So one of what's her name?
She's missing.
Jenora. Jenora is a master airbender now, so she's got the arrow, and she's the oldest, and so her and the two others are gonna go try to find Korra, like that's their mission. So I'm excited about that next episode.
I am buying those. I'm buying the seasons.
So I gotta watch.
They're
them.
So good. They're so good, man. Something happens at the end of season 3 that is impacting this season. That's Korra has been seen by the viewer, but not by anybody else. I'll say that.
No spoilers.
Okay. No spoilers. So she's going through some stuff.
All right. The heroes always got to have trials.
And there's a big reveal in this last episode of someone that we've seen from the Avatar universe, like the last Airbender universe. That's
really
yes, a main character comes back.
Whoa!
So I don't want to reveal it because
like
I don't want to. Yeah, everybody's old as crap. It's hilarious.
Crusty.
Yes, crusty and old.
Old as crap.
Yep. So
crap gets old. It dries out.
Fuel. And then
it's
burn
not
it.
Okay, dude.
Buffalo flop.
You did not need to add that. That is not an improvement to the podcast. A reference to a buffalo chip is not an improvement to the podcast.
Absolutely.
I'm just laying it out there. No.
All right, loudness. Bring it back down. Okay.
Knowledge champ.
So Fury, what do we think of Fury?
Christopher. Chris hates Brad Pitt.
He hates Brad Pitt?
I hate him so much.
I love Brad Pitt. What's wrong with you? He's so watchable. He's so watchable in this movie.
He's close to the perfect human with a perfect life, dude.
Oh my gosh.
I must hate him.
He's motivated from a place of jealousy.
Yes. Yes.
No question. Yes.
Is your wife in love with him or something? Is that what's going on?
I just hate him.
Oh my god, he's so great. He's so great in this movie.
Dude, he is so good. He's so watchable.
Okay, I loved it.
The movie is an amazing commentary in my view on the what war does to you.
Yes. Mm.
Huge commentary on that. It strips away from your
and
the clarity
and brilliantly
that it adds.
Done. Brilliantly mm-hmm. what? Done. You don't even know that that's what they're telling you, and then they are like they don't rub it in your face. Like it is.
No, it's really well done.
Yes,
it's character study.
It's a clarity. The commentary is on good or bad. Commentary is on the clarity that war offers to the participants in terms of single-minded, and also there is no the simplification of moral judgments, right?
Mm-hmm.
Except there is this weird sort of the – I guess I'll say – cognitive dissonance. Mm-hmm. The idea that Brad Pitt character can be as brutal as he is with the newbie, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then be so amazingly protective and such an amazing sort of moral person in the scenes in the village, right?
Yes.
Protective as his crewmate and protective of the two women.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a, you know, he just compartmentalizes.
Yep.
And the ability of some people to be able to compartmentalize, and that is contrasted with other members of the crew who are clearly unable to compartmentalize.
Yes,
and that
exactly.
have given into all of the basest nature that war brings out in people, right? Except, again, I go back to it simplifies things and offers clarity to people. And it's just a commentary and examination of sort of the extent of that, what it does to strip away sort of all the layers of social norms and societal and what we as humans sort of have grown, you know, in normal society, what we're able to sort of do. But that state of nature, puts you in that state of nature. And this director sort of explores some of that in his cop movie too, End of Watch. And I just thought it was really terrific.
Well, besides everything that you're mentioning,
really terrific movie,
which I completely agree with, there are some really amazing battle scenes involving this tank crew.
Yes.
Yeah, when they get in that duel with the tiger.
Oh my god.
Yeah. It's so good. You are gripping the whole time.
Yep. Yep.
And you just how are they going to get out of this, cuz they are so overmatched. It's by the skin of their freaking teeth.
Yeah.
But it doesn't
so
feel
well
like they
done.
Got.
It's like dice roll. Like they could have been any one of the other tanks and just been smoked.
Well, and that's the other thing that the movie highlights is that it's 20-sided die, dude. It's RNG.
Yeah.
Yep.
War is RNG, right?
Yeah, it really is.
It's total luck of the draw. You're not in the tank that gets totally smoked.
Yeah.
You're not the first target they
picked. You're not the first one that just gets blown that exactly. You have no idea exactly. That you just got blown up.
Exactly. Well, I think that people for I know a little bit about the history just because when Band of Brothers came out, I read a lot of books about World War II, and I kind of got into it. I geeked out a little bit. Not a lot of people know the history about World War II and the fact that the Sherman tank, the main tank that the American forces use in World War II, the tank that's featured in this movie, was not like the cutting edge of technology.
No,
the German
tanks were fantastic tanks. They were better. They were better equipped, better designed tanks than every other country in the world. And that's their And we won basically because we had more tanks than the Germans did.
And there's five against one.
Totally highlights that
five against one.
Yeah, there was one German four tank that one. Takes out four other that takes out almost an entire platoon of American tanks, and that's it's not an exaggeration. Yep. The German tanks were that good.
That's so crazy that I really enjoy this movie, but it is I always want to put in the. You know, this is an extremely violent movie. This is an extremely stressful movie. This is an extremely, like, not happy-go-lucky. This is not a movie that I walked out of smiling. This is a silent, you walk out quiet.
That's
Chris was talking about how the theater was silent afterwards.
Theater was almost full, right, Andrew? And
I think our theater was probably 80% full.
And it was silent.
This is cutting you deep. This movie cuts you deep. And it's like, it's very powerful, very intense.
But it's not tragedy for tragedy's sake. No. It's not manipulative.
No,
everything that happens to this crew feels genuine, feels earned, and the kind of what the resolution of the film is.
Don't do that.
No, I'm not going to say the how everything resolves and how the story wraps up. You buy it. You don't feel like you've been manipulated.
And in my view, the amazing nature of the movie is in the final shot. Because that final shot is a mix of, oh, my God, these were heroes, and, oh, my God, look at what they did.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, is that – any movie that can pull that off where the final shot has that complete mix of emotions, it's like, holy cow, they were amazing, and, oh, my God, they actually did that.
Yeah, the carnage is unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. I just love movies that can speak to – sort of
and
that
work on multiple that layers.
It's a mixed message. I love that. I love that.
And you gotta,
that
final you shot. It. You got to work.
That final
it out
shot
yourself.
Stays with you for a long time.
Sure
it
does.
Did with me. It did with me anyway.
I agree.
So.
There's a. I really enjoyed the use of sound in this movie. I always liked
because
there was moments of silence that were like, whoa, this is quiet. And then there's moments of, like, loudness and intent. Like, when the shells are whizzing past their heads.
Yes, yes.
Holy crap. That
is
such
so a good job
great.
Of conveying that immersion into the battle scenes.
I love,
really well done.
I love it when gunshots feel, like impactful. Like, you watch a movie and people shooting guns and it just feels like Hollywood. But when they shoot guns in this movie, it's like boom, boom, boom. It's like explosions.
Yeah.
There's like loudness to it. It's like real. It's in your face, you know, it's wow.
Yeah, the rounds sound like rounds. They don't sound like Hollywood makes guns sound.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like listening. It's like when you watch a Michael Mann movie, the way that the guns sound in a Michael Mann movie is totally
same
different
kind
than
of
how
deal.
Guns
it
sound.
It totally doesn't
in
sound.
Movies.
It doesn't sound like, you know,
a
like,
sound effect.
Yeah.
It sounds
a sound
like a gun.
Effect. It sounds like a gun. Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
Like how you would hear it. We should move on because we talked about that for a while. Jeez. So Red, what do we got for Red?
I am trying to get caught up with Hawkeye, Matt Fraction's Hawkeye. I am just a couple of issues from being totally current. That book is great. I really enjoy it. I am behind on Batman Eternal again. I am two or three issues behind. I need to get that done. Mm. I am reading Rick Riordan's the last book in his Heroes of Olympus series called The Blood of Olympus. It's book five in that series. I am enjoying it very much. It is his last book set in the kind of Greek and Roman hero world. He's going to have a new series that's going to come out next fall where he's going to talk about the Norse gods and their human offspring,
cool,
which I think would be interesting. So I'm enjoying that very much. But yeah, no, I'm kind of plodding through that, and I'm trying to get caught up on the massive stack of comics that I have. I love the Hawkeye book. Matt Fraction's Hawkeye book is great. And it has a character that I don't know anything about, and her storyline is also very interesting. It's completely unconnected to the Clint Barton storyline that's in New York. Clint Barton's kind of ex-girlfriend, Kate Bishop, who also goes by the name of Hawkeye, has moved to L.A., and she has her own kind of plot thread going on in the issues that I'm reading. And she's a very fun, interesting character. It's got kind of a Buffy idea to her. She's witty, and she makes pop culture references left and right. So she's fun that way, and her arc is also very, very satisfying and interesting. So I'm liking that book more and more as I get myself caught up. So I haven't heard whether or not Matt Fraction leaves the book. I think he's still writing it. I hope he continues to, because I really like it, and I'm going to continue to pick up every single issue of that that Fraction's writing. So that's my scene that I kind of plowed through.
Your red.
Red, you mean?
My red, excuse me. Yeah, my red.
Christopher, what you got for red?
I'm going to highlight a couple things. I am almost finished with book one of the Powder Mage trilogy, Promise of Blood. I may actually finish that tonight after we get off the podcast.
Cool.
It's really good. It's coming to the payoff for this book one involves the mythology and gods of this world, potential gods being back into this world and being summoned into this world.
Whoa.
Interesting.
It's
really, you know, it started out great and great premise in terms of a coup, and then it has only gotten more interesting as more is revealed about the world and the power, people who wield power in the world. And then this added twist of this group of sort of religious fanatics, is for want of a better phrase, are hellbent on summoning the main god of their pantheon.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, and so they're all converging on this point where there is an attempt that is going to be made. And so I can't wait to finish. I'm powering through and I'm almost finished. I'll probably finish that tonight.
Cool.
The other thing I want to highlight that I'm reading, which I am absolutely loving, but they're coming out in dribs and drabs, is the Walt Simonson Ragnarok series. This is comics. Have you remember we bought? I bought issue one at Comic Con.
Was it Comic Con or WonderCon?
Comic Con.
Comic Con. Okay.
Yeah, issue one was out at Comic Con, and now issue two is out.
Okay.
And it is this tale. I just love the Norse pantheon.
Yeah.
And mythology, and this book is set after the end of the world.
Okay.
After Ragnarok.
So all the gods are
Norse,
dead?
Norse
and
gods
stuff?
Have all been killed.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
The Norse gods have all been killed, right? Thor, yeah. in the first issue, Thor is killed by the giant serpent, right? I mean, the art is awesome. The storyline is interesting. You're following a dark elf assassin who goes on this quest to this ancient, broken-down city/tomb. And then issue number two, they break in, and you get hints of what's inside, and you see chained to a chair, like a throne, inside the skeletal figure, giant skeletal figure. And then the issue number two reveals who that skeletal figure is. He comes to life. And it is, it sets up what could be just this epic, amazing series. So I'm very enthusiastically reading that because the art is awesome. The writing has been great so far. Walter Simonson's Ragnarok is the name of the book. I will be reading that avidly. So
cool. Awesome. Cool. Sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good. So those are the two things I'll highlight this week. So,
all right. I have one big highlight, but I'd like to mention a couple of things. I'm not completely caught up on Death of Wolverine, but I'm really disappointed with that book. I think it's all like Marvel trying to sell books because they're just going to bring him back. But I'm still buying it.
I saw, not to reveal a spoiler, but I saw the final final panel.
Yeah.
On some site, I saw the final panel of what it looks like.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's this question that they'll bring him back after that final panel.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. The death, I'm doing air quotes right now, death of Wolverine. The first two issues, nothing's happened. Like, and I mean, it's only four, so, I mean,
yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Who's writing that book?
Here, I can grab it. It is Charles Soule.
Okay.
Steve McNiven is doing the art for it, and he's fantastic. Oh my god,
the art's good.
It's the same guy who did the art for Civil War. So it's like
art is good. Yeah.
This is
yeah.
like what you expect from a comic book art. It's beautiful and it looks amazing, and everybody. It's so good to look at, but it's awful. There's nothing happening. There's really good action, but it's completely pointless.
Okay.
And I got Audible, so I've been listening to a book that's on my bucket list. I'm listening to Frank Herbert's Dune, and I'm about 10 hours in a couple of weeks, so I've really been like destroying it.
How many hours is it total?
21.
Okay.
So I'm about halfway, I would say. This is probably, it's just amazing to listen to. Oh my god. I know a little bit about the Dune storyline because I've seen the terrible David Lynch movie, and I've seen the sci-fi,
not terrible sci-fi miniseries.
Yeah,
that was not terrible. Yeah.
And
not
terrible. And so I know the characters. I know what's going to happen. Sort of. I have an idea about like I can pick whenever I hear something. I picture like an actor when they're talking, and That's not a bad thing, but so I kind of know what's going on, but there's so much more to this than I've ever seen, because I mean, it just gets deeper and deeper.
The books are so, deep.
Deep and deep and deep, and there's like all this little stuff. There's like the Sardaukars and the Mentats, and I find myself, like, anytime they say something, I immediately, like, pick up my phone and I look it up on the internet. Like, what the heck is a Mentat? Like, because you miss that stuff in the movie or the show. It's just, like, they like, say it once and then they move on. It's like, the cool little lore and the details and all this interesting stuff. And this world is fantastic. This, like, future humans, whether they're human or not. I'm really enjoying it so far. I will continue to listen to that.
It's
and
Christopher's favorite book.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
That's why I'm listening to it.
It is my absolute favorite. The book series is my favorite series. The Dune itself is my all-time favorite book.
Really?
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It is fantastic.
And I mean, you're to add kind of color to this commentary. You have a character on WoW that you've played for years, and the name of the character is Atreidian, correct?
Yes. Yes.
After the house Atreides.
Atreides.
That is specifically Paul's house.
Specifically named to honor the Dune series. Yes.
Yeah. there,
which is awesome. I love that.
There's so much cool stuff that they never like get into in the I don't remember the show very well, but I remember the movie very well. The whole idea of like Paul being this like omnipotent character, this like he is so
not omnipotent.
No, but like he's so smart that like he can see the choices people will make, so you can see the paths that have led him.
He's given the gift of being able to see glimpses of the future.
Yes, but using like science and math to do it, not just like...
there's mysticism involved too, and there's trance. There's the trance that is induced by the spice. It's a very
I haven't gotten that far yet.
Oh yeah, no. The nuance of all of that. You haven't gotten into the heavy duty religious stuff that happens. Are they out in the desert yet?
Is Paul and Jessica out in the desert yet? Where I'm at in the book right now is Paul and Jessica are in the tent after the I don't want to ruin anything for anybody, but they're in the tent after something big happens. Yeah,
yeah, okay. Yeah,
they're in the tent in the desert.
You're on the cusp, dude, of it. They've hinted at it, but the exploration of religion and messiahdom,
wow,
and all of that is just you're just heading into that.
Good.
I love it so far.
It's so good. Dude,
I need to read this book.
Like, listening,
Andrew, you really do.
I've got a copy. I've started it, but I tried to read it.
I tried to read it too, and I didn't enjoy it as much. But now that I have Audible, dude, the voice act, like, there are voice actors for all the different characters. It's like I'm listening to a stage play. That's so cool. It's so good. And it's all like these different guys talking. Yeah, and like all these different characters, you can hear the inflection, you can hear like the acting. There's like when things start to get...
The book's got like 30 characters.
Oh my god, it's insane. It's hard to keep track of sometimes. Like I am always confusing like Duncan.
There's a core of about 10 to 15.
I'm always confusing like Duncan and Gurney and who's that one guy too? Dr. Kynes or something like that. Like those three, I'm like, who's this? Who's that? Oh, okay. And they all have like two names, so they're hard to keep track of. It's like there's Thusphere and there's Pytar and there's it's like difficult. It's fun.
It's good.
It's fun.
It's not brain
it's
candy.
It's not brain candy. This is complicated.
It's cool. I like it.
And you know, Dune Messiah, Children of Dune, God Emperor Dune. Those four books are just ridiculously awesome.
Really?
I mean, oh yeah. The four books of this series are,
and then the rest are like spin-offs by his son.
No. There's Heretics of Dune and Chapter House.
Okay.
Are the books that Frank Herbert wrote?
Okay.
When did he write this? Chapter House is good. Ends on a really weird note.
Okay.
And then his son, you know, as a money grab, sort of destroyed. When was the first book?
Just read the first,
the first book was published in
1960 something.
60s? Wow.
That's right. Late 60s, I think.
There's some really progressive ideas and interesting things about
ecology and environmental stuff happening. Yeah. It's really amazing.
Like sexual ideas, like the idea of like planned breeding.
Oh yeah.
And homosexuality, like the Duke is like a rapist. And or not the Duke, the Baron. The Baron is like a pedophile. He's a homosexual pedophile rapist. Yeah, like very dark stuff, but very good. Oh my god.
1966 is when the novel was first released.
Thank you, Andrew, for fact checking us.
I'm sorry, 1965. It won the Hugo Award in 1966. So 1965.
So those are my two that I'll probably talk about today. I'm still reading Ready Player One, continue doing that, but I'm listening to Dune and enjoying that so much. Let's move on.
We'll continue to talk about that. I can talk that book all day long.
You know what? As soon as I finish the book that I have, I'm gonna pick up. I'll pick up Dune and I'll read it too.
Dude, it's. Yeah.
I'll make that commitment right now. I'll pick it up and read it too. Good. We should
you
all
won't
have
regret
that.
It.
We should.
Yep.
It's like for science
Blood
fiction
of
fantasy.
Done in like a week that reads quick. It's fun
for science fiction fantasy. This is on my bucket list. I've always wanted to like listen to it / read it. So I want to do this, and I want to do I'm going to do The Hobbit next, and I'm probably going to do like Lord of the Rings after that. Because I never read those.
Yeah, like, you gotta read those.
But if you have any like other recommendations for like science fiction fantasy that people need to read, let me know. I'll add them to my eventual listen to. Now that I have Audible, I get like what is it a free book a month? So I'll probably I'll probably end up picking one of those up. So yeah,
cool.
Played. Let's go on to Played.
Yeah.
So we did something together.
We played Destiny.
Got our characters to 20.
It's very fun.
We got
very
to 20.
It is a very fun game.
And then we all did a strike together, which
we
is like a dungeon.
Strikes,
we did
we?
A couple yep. strikes. Yeah,
we did. Yeah.
And
I completed the story missions just before we recorded.
Oh,
tonight.
Nice.
So I finished.
You did.
I finished the Black Garden.
Okay, so
today.
Chris was talking about how the story's kind of weak, and I might agree with that. Like, what do you think of the story
that.
Now that it's over?
It's not coherent. It's disjointed.
Not coherent.
It's there isn't a narrative through line that really makes any sense at all.
What's the point of this? Why are we doing this? Who is this person?
There's no like connect the dots. Okay, we're going here because of this is connected to that. There's none of that narrative coherence at all.
This game reminds me a lot of like the Mass Effect universe, but in the opposite direction, because Mass Effect has so much like world building, like deep sea, like total story, character immersion, like your character makes choices and they impact the game, and this is like the other spectrum of that, where it's like it doesn't have any choice. There's you're just on rails, you're just going here, you're doing this, why you don't even know why you're doing it, like until you're standing in front of the thing in the Black Garden, Andrew, did you have any idea what you were...
At the end, you're like, what the hell is that, and
exactly.
why am I here?
Yeah, exactly.
You're still asking yourself that.
Exactly.
So
there's
no
answer.
It's redeemed by the fun gameplay, the art is awesome, the controls are great.
Yeah.
Yes.
The music...
The
voice
music
acting,
is great.
The voice acting, it
all
looks
the custom ability,
the
models, armor,
all of that,
all the models,
it's fun
all the,
to play.
Yeah, it is fun
to
play.
The story
it's weak. It's
incoherent.
They spend so much time on this game, and there's no plot. Like they spent all their time on like making it's very thin. Well, Halo's kind of thin too. It's like, hey, Master Chief goes to this planet.
Halo is crystal clear compared to this.
No, but Halo is like that.
And not that. I mean, there's not much to it, but at least you know the point A to point B in the Halo universe, right?
It's true.
This is you don't even. There's no point A to point B,
and you have like a
all you know is that there's bad guys out there, and you just got to go shoot them all.
And it's so.
It boils down to just shoot everybody.
Yes. It's so
many, in the face.
Many times over.
It's so black and white. It's so black and white too. Like the darkness and the light. Come on, seriously. Yeah. Like how on the nose do you have to be? Like,
well, and the bad guys' names are the Hive.
Yeah.
The Fallen.
Yeah.
The Vex.
Cabal.
The Cabal. Come on, and then you're a guardian.
I actually, right, you're a guardian.
All those names present positive images in my mind, right?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Well, yeah. I actually really like the character designs, and I really like the different, like, the names of the different, like, the Dreg, and the Captain, and the Vandal, and then there's, like, and then the different, like, the Hive
But there's classes, too, among the Fallen.
Exactly.
You have revered Vandals that are tougher.
Right, revered
Captains. And then you got the Hive, which are, you have Acolytes, you have Knights.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you have Wizards. Yeah. No, it's cool.
I like all that.
Decent variation.
Yeah.
And like the all the enemies have different like problems or challenges that you have to overcome.
Exactly.
So it's not boring. Like, it's like, oh, whenever you see a Minotaur, you're like, crap.
Yeah. You pray to God you don't get one-shotted because he's just going to frack you up.
Because he could.
And you got to, okay.
He could. He can lay you down.
I got to switch my gun because of the, you know, the
sheet. It's challenging. It's like a moment. And then, like, while that Minotaur is charging you, there's hobgoblins sniping you. And it's like, wow, okay. And then there's Hydra, there's harpies, like, running around behind you trying to block your escape.
Yep.
Yes, it's fun.
It is fun.
It's challenging.
It's fun to play together. It's a fun game to play and talk together, and it's a good time.
Well,
I have one character over 20. I have a level 21 Titan.
21.
Patrick has multiple characters over 20, correct?
Well, okay, so I played as my hunter, like, pretty straight off, and played a lot with him, and he's 28 right now, but what was happening over the course of playing him is I've gotten a lot of warlock stuff and a lot of, like, other guns.
Okay.
And so I decided, like, when I was playing the warlock with you guys, I decided to get him to 20, and as soon as I hit 20 and I slapped armor on him that I had waiting, because I had, like, two legendaries and exotic waiting. For him to get to 20, and as soon as he's 20, boom, 24. Like,
okay.
So I haven't had to do much work with that other character, but I've already
you had all that armor vaulted for when you.
Yeah, I just threw it in my vault, and awesome. I could have destroyed it and made it into, like, ascendant shards, which you need to level up your stuff. But I decided to hold on to it and wait, and now it's paying off. Now I have two level 25 now and 28, and so it's like, cool, I have another character to play that's like max level, that's just as awesome, because so it's a lot of
Christopher
fun.
What did you there's more content for the game being released in December, correct? There's an expansion
that's coming in December.
They were talking right now you can go on
you
Xbox
can buy two
Live.
Expansions
yeah in you, the, it's the like 30 pass. 30 something dollars. It's a season pass, and it gives you access to the next two expansions that they're going to release, and the next one is in December.
Okay.
So what that entails, though, we don't know. It could be more story, it could be you could level up more. I hope there will be more gear, but they've been adding, like, events.
They've data mined. There's going to be more. There are more maps and more story.
More maps, more story.
And more strikes.
More strikes.
And another raid.
Oh, yeah, no, nice.
More strikes and another raid.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
How many times have you run?
I'm going to have an issue with all of this because the WoW expansion comes out in November.
Oh, God. you got to
the WoW expansion is mid November.
Chris is going to have a lot of demands on his gamer time.
Warlords of Draenor,
right?
That's a new one.
Patrick, how many times have you run the Vault of Glass?
We have completed it twice.
How many times have you attempted it?
Oh, my God. Six? Seven?
Yeah. That's about the Bungie released a tweet maybe 2 weeks ago, advising about 1.8 million players have attempted the Vault of Glass, and something like 400 or 500,000 have actually completed.
It's a quarter. It's a quarter of the people who have tried have.
What's the longest time it's taken you to complete, and what's the shortest time?
The longest time was not completing it, and we were in there for probably 5 hours.
Wow.
And we didn't beat it. Well, not in one sitting, because it lasts for a week.
Well, the two times, how long did it take you? The two times you've beaten it,
The first time we beat it, that run probably took three hours the first time through. Total. The second time we beat it, because we knew our jobs, and no one died, and we ran through it, like, awesomely.
Yeah.
We one-shotted it in about an hour.
Wow.
And just wrecked it. Just totally, like...
What kind of drops are you getting off
Oh, my God,
defeating
I've gotten
Atheon?
So... Okay, so there's some really... Okay. I've gotten the two best guns in the game. Or two of the best guns in the game, I will say that. Atheon's Epilogue, which is an auto rifle that has a full fire rate bar, and it has void damage on it. It's one of the only primary weapons
with arc damage
that has a damage modifier. It actually damages like purple
that's
shields,
crazy.
And
it's crazy.
Yes. And I've gotten the vision of Confluence, I think it's called. It's a scout rifle.
Oh, yeah, no, I read about that today.
I got the scout rifle also, and that's got solar damage on it, and I love that gun. Oh, my God. I dome shot people left and right. It's so... Dude, dome I take... The scout rifles are really hard to use in PvP, and I use that gun in PvP, and I just wreck fools. Just like dead, like so yeah. Much fun.
That's cool.
I've gotten a couple of pieces of armor, and I've gotten the white shader. The white shader drops off Atheon. It's called Shattered White.
What? The Atheon is the final boss?
That's the final Atheon. There's
is
two...
it a different sort of creature or being or thing?
It's like,
or
a
is it
giant...
modeled after what we've already seen?
It's kind of like a giant Minotaur. But it looks a little different. It's like silver. It's a silver-looking Minotaur.
I have specifically avoided any video of the raid.
Yeah, so right. Yeah. So
the first boss is a Templar. Is called Templar, and he looks like a Hydra. He's like a big Hydra, and he's tough. And then there's the Gorgon Labyrinth, which has, they will one-shot you if they see you, and that's the most fun gameplay, like, ever. Mm-hmm. You're like, in this cave, and there's, like, all these different paths you can go, and these Gorgons are just running around this area, and if they see anybody, they kill you all. Like, you can't fight them. They just,
oh, yeah, this is the part I've heard about in terms of it's a stealth...
The
component,
stealth.
Right?
You have to run. So you got six guys all on Xbox Live running together, and then stop. And it runs past you, and everybody goes silent. Like, you don't need to not talk, but you're all
so
just like,
we can't hear you.
We can't hear you.
With the same guys each time?
Okay, I have a core group that has done it from the beginning.
When we get to 26 and 27, dude, I expect you to take us through.
I will definitely do it. I'm the raid leader, so I give everybody assignments. I will. It's 26.
No, I'm.
That's the minimum.
You run it with six guys.
You run it with six guys. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you need a couple of classes to make it easier, but you can do it with any classes. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, man. I could talk about Destiny all day. Jeez.
Yeah, we're having a good time.
We absolutely could. We had a great. The Brothers Geek Fire Team had a great time this weekend.
Yeah,
running
we
up
did.
Strikes.
Yeah, we did.
It was cool.
Yeah. I'd like to tack something onto this before. I've started a Twitch. So if people want to watch me play Destiny, you can go to twitch.tv/washburn300, which is my Xbox Live gamer tag, washburn300, the number 300. So you can look that up. I'll have to put that on the website somewhere so you guys can look that up. But yeah, you can see me play Destiny.
We need to create a Destiny page on the website, I think.
Definitely.
We do.
Definitely.
Since we're all playing it, yeah.
Agreed. Well, I posted a video of some gameplay that I did, and then I posted some stuff on YouTube also. So if you want to, I'll post some links on the site so you can come watch if you're curious.
Cool.
But, yes, Andrew, trivia, what do you got?
I have a comic book related trivia question for you all this evening. I would argue that, at least for Patrick and I, one of our favorite writers in comics is Brian Michael Bendis.
Definitely.
I would encourage anyone and everyone actually to check out his Twitter feed as well.
It's a great Twitter feed.
He has a very fun Twitter feed.
He's really smart. Oh my God.
He writes very good comics.
Mm-hmm.
When Marvel kind of launched their Ultimate Universe, he was the writer of Ultimate Spider-Man and for quite a long time. And for all of you who don't know, it was a monthly when Ultimate Spider-Man, well, it's still running, But in the first – here's the question. In the first run of Ultimate Spider-Man written by Brian Michael Bendis, how many numbered issues did he write in the first run of Ultimate Spider-Man?
Oh, wow.
Ooh. Starting with issue number one.
How many did he write? I think he stopped at like 200, something like that. Yeah, he wrote a lot.
I was going to guess 100.
He wrote a lot of Ultimate Spider-Man. Like they were pumping that comic book out.
Well, it was. I mean, it was a monthly. It came out 11, 12 times a year.
Uh
huh. In the first run, Brian Michael Bendis wrote through issue 133. Of that comic, and he is still writing it. It's still an active book. It is now known as
monthly. And he did 133.
That's just the first run, and then they started renumbering with Ultimate Spider-Man. They called it Ultimate Spider-Man Volume 2. They started from 1 again because they do Ultimate Spider-Man through issue 133, and then Peter Parker dies. Yeah, it started in 2000. And it ran until 2011, 2012.
Jeez.
And then they relaunched the title with a different Spider-Man, but he continued to write it. They're through issue 160 right now.
Well, you sent me that the new X-Men thing. Is that an overlap to the Ultimate Spider-Man? Like, he's in that first issue. Did you read that, Andrew?
I didn't read that, no.
It's the African American Spider-Man.
Oh, Rags something.
Yeah,
I can't remember his name.
Yeah, I don't remember his name either. But that's who they switched to for a while in Ultimate Spider-Man. So I thought that it was weird that it was like, is this an Ultimate book or is this a?
Yeah,
it's also written by Bendis. So it's good. The first issue, nothing happens. It's sort of just like, holy crap, what's happening? That's issue one. I just summed it up for you.
More information on Brian Michael Bendis. I mean, he wrote kind of independent comics, and then he came over to Marvel, and he's written kind of their flagship books. He wrote Ultimate Spider-Man. He wrote the New Avengers. He wrote Avengers Disassembled, and he wrote like three or four of their major crossover events. He wrote Secret War. He wrote House of M.
Secret War. I was thinking Civil War is Mark Miller.
Yeah, he wrote Secret Invasion. He also wrote Siege, and he wrote Age of Ultron, which doesn't have anything to do with the movie that's coming out. It just has the same title.
Cool.
One of the most, probably the most prolific Marvel writer going right now, and he's great.
Good. Did you have something? Trivia question, Christopher?
A supplemental trivia question?
No, not this week. I will not prepare. I'll let you chew on. Oh, I am prepared. I don't have an answer. You never gave me an answer. You have to read the books, but about last
episode. It's on the bucket list. It's there.
Okay, so read the book and then give me the answer to the trivia question about Sharky.
Who is Sharky?
And, I'll ask the supplemental trivia since you throw it. I'm prepared.
Here's the problem with Sharky, the Sharky question.
Go ahead.
That's at the end of the third book.
Yeah, dude.
So, like,
it's at the end of The Lord of the Rings. It's a single book. The Lord of the Rings. One book. They broke it into three for publishing purposes. It's a single book.
All right.
Yes, you have to read the frickin' thing. It's awesome.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
What's your trivia question? What do you got?
Along those same lines, a fundamental and key omission from the movies.
Okay.
Was Tom Bombadil.
Tom Bombadil. Yep.
Yeah.
Who is Tom Bombadil?
I know who Tom Bombadil is already because I've had a discussion with a former roommate, Melody Albright, who told me all about.
That's cheating.
Bombadil. Yeah. Well, yeah. He's like a forest god kind of a dude, right? Like he's kind of like a wood nymph. And he like sings songs to them and stuff. He's kind of a weird character, right? Like, he has no purpose?
He has purpose, but was specifically omitted from the movies and to the unhappiness of many Lord of the Rings Tolkien fans.
Well, like, he's not, like,
fanboys.
Key to the story, though. He's just sort of like, hey, look at this weird character
who
lives in the woods.
He is central to some of the lore of the world. And he is central to the first sort of main threat to the hobbits at the beginning.
Okay. So. All right.
Okay.
Okay. If you'd like to help Andrew with his trivia question, you can email him at kinginnorth52@gmail.com. If you'd like to help Chris with his Lord of the Rings trivia, you can email him at brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com.
Yep.
You should visit the site, brothersgeek.com.
.com.
And you should follow us on Twitter, @brothers_geek, @twitter.com. You should do it. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful evening.
On shot first.